All right, here we are. We are live. I am just clicking on to the IG here. Give me 1 second and we can get rolling. Okay, and now we're officially rolling on everything. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Chaz Mosh Show. I am Chaz, a.k.a. Mosh of the legendary tag team, the Headbangers, and this is where we talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. So let's go. Let's start off with a little Once Upon a Coconut here. I got the chocolate. Now, if you guys haven't gone here to Once Upon a Coconut, or if you haven't been out of the store, you haven't picked it up yet, I'm telling you, you're missing out, because this shiznit is simply tremendous. Simply tremendous. And the chocolate here, dairy-free hydration, coconut and chocolate, it tastes like a Yoo-Hoo. And if you've had Yoo-Hoo before, you know how damn good it is. And then this is actually way healthier and way better for you than a Yoo-Hoo. So let's go. We got our Once Upon a Coconut click. Happened to my screen out. Okay, we're still here. All right, though maybe I lost a little internet connection or something. But hey, kind of what I wanted to chit-chat about today with everybody was, hold please, sorry, missing something, comments, here we go. I'm not sure who's here. All right, here we go. All right, where'd I go? All right, I'm back. All right. First things first, it's officially been launched, as you see behind me, livefortunate.com. I've been wearing the Fortunate shirts lately. This one here says Fortunate. It's a mindset. This is a little design. Most people survive. Few actually live. I put a video out. Actually, I think it just went out a little bit ago. But basically, I've been told over and over again about how lucky I am. Glenn says it to me all the time. He's like, oh, you're lucky. You get to do these cool trips. So the company I work for, my real day job, Dex Imaging, we go on trips. I've had, there are president's trips. You have to actually sell a certain amount of product, certain amount of copiers and printers I got to sell to be able to go on these trips. And I said to him, I go, I'm not lucky because I get to go on these trips. I'm fortunate because I earned these trips. I'm fortunate that I'm a top seller at the company that allows me to go and do other things, like I've been on NASCAR trips. I do a lot with nonprofits in the area, and because of how much I sell, I'm afforded, the opportunity to sponsor different things, to invite customers. So there's a lot of things going on. For instance, I get to go to the PC, WWE PC in Orlando, which I'm going to next week. So I'm not lucky. Luck is winning the lottery. Luck is walking down the street and finding a $20 bill. So for me, I've worked my way into a spot where I'm very fortunate. Wrestling has offered me a lot of opportunities where I'm very fortunate because of the opportunities that I've been presented with. Doing this podcast, I'm fortunate I'm able to do this podcast because, let's be honest, if it wasn't for my wrestling background and a little bit of a following that I have, I probably wouldn't be doing a podcast because who the hell would want to listen to me? I mean, I still question who wants to listen to me now, but you get the joke there. So what happened was I was out at my camp and I was hanging out with a group that I ride with. And this whole thing came up again about being lucky. And I said the same thing, everything I just said. I said to them, I go, luck has nothing to do with it. I'm very fortunate. I worked my way into a position where I'm fortunate. And I happened to be wearing a Lucky Brand shirt. And one of the guys is like, well, your shirt says you're lucky, so you must be lucky. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I must be lucky. But I made a joke and I said, listen, when I come back next time, that's it. I'm going to have a shirt that says fortunate on it. So I went and did a little bit of research. I went on Amazon. I went on the Google. I went on all the stuff, and there wasn't really any shirts that I liked. And then a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, there's a Lucky Brand, which is shirts and jeans and clothing and different things like that, but there's really not a Fortunate brand. So I decided to start my own Fortunate brand. So livefortunate.com, you go there, and there's different shirts. Some are like this, obviously like this. There's one like that that I pointed out. I even made one of, because I go camping, so there's a, if you Google Tree of Clues, there's a giant tree out in the middle of nowhere, and when I go camping with my buddies, we sit out under this tree, and we smoke cigars. I sat under that tree writing my book, Beneath the Skirt. So there's pictures, like, out in the woods, and there's actually one inspired by the group I go camping with, because they asked me to do it, so I said, why not? A picture of a guy drinking a beer and peeing on a tree. So there's just different ideas. There's a bunch of different things on there. So it's basically, fortunate is a mindset. It's for people who have gratitude, people who work for themselves, people who are presented opportunities. If you work hard and someone tells you, you work your ass off and you get something from working your ass off, and someone says, oh, you're lucky, then you're not. You're fortunate, and this brand is for you. So go to livefortunate.com. Check it out. Again, there's, I think I've got about 20 or 22 different designs on there right now. More to come. I have all these different ideas, and it's been fun just to let, this has all happened in the last couple of weeks. I figured out the website, and I figured out how to put it up there. But it's fun for me. I enjoy designing the different things, and there's going to be more coming on there, and there's going to be a lot more stuff coming with it. But anyway, this is the start. It's been kicked off. Anyone that goes there and checks it out and, you know, purchases something, hell, gratitude, love you, thank you. Let's just spread the word about, you know, being fortunate and how it's a mindset. It's not just, you know, you're not just giving a bunch of shit out, if that makes sense. So with that being said, let's see what we got going on over here. A little bit here. Sam Watts Wrestling. What's going on, man? We need myself and Thrasher at For the Love of Wrestling in Manchester, England. Listen, I'd love to come over to England again. I've been talking to someone right now. I think it's Kapow. I don't know if that's right or not. Don't hold me to that. About coming. Love to come back over there. I loved going to England when we went, the few times we went. Like I said, would love to come back. Hey, Kathy, yes, we'll be back there in a couple weeks. I'm talking about that soon, about how we'll be back there in the next few weeks again already, which is amazing. Amazeballs for Tommy and ISPW to get asked back, you know, as quickly as they did from the last show. But the last show was great as well. So what I want to jump into today is just SummerSlam was this past weekend. And I know every podcast and everybody in the world who's getting involved with wrestling and all has pretty much probably talked it out by now. But for me, I just want to talk about me and the highlights that I had, because I had quite a few. And it all started, we got in Thursday night. We got in late because we had delays. Got up Friday morning. And again, I'll go back to being fortunate. I was fortunate enough to be invited to attend the last day of the WWE/NXT tryouts. So they were out there, I think it was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that they were out there to doing the tryouts. They had a bunch of, all the coaches were out there, and then there was a bunch of NXT talent out there, you know, kind of helping out. I'm going to say there was 50 to 60, and I call them all kids, even though they're not kids, 50 to 60 kids out there, a bunch of indie people, a bunch of indie wrestlers, and then just a bunch of the athletes coming out of college. And again, I've said it before, and I'll say it again right now, I am very happy that I did not have to compete against those college athletes, because those kids are so crazy athletic. I don't know if that's what I had to go through, if I would have made it. Yes, I'm very athletic, but just the level of their athleticism, especially after going through college, college athletics and having to train the way they train, their mindset's different than anyone else. And back then when I started in 93, I was what, 22? I didn't have that type of mindset. I didn't have that grit. I didn't have that grind. I didn't have that mental toughness back then to get through it. So it's just one of those things, you know, college athletes are different breeds. But, so I was fortunate enough to be able to go there and, you know, just not watch, but help out and talk to everybody. And then obviously seeing everyone is a totally different thing. And then that night we had WrestleCon from 4 to 8. And my favorite part about WrestleCon, you know, outside of being able to see the fans and interact with them, even though some of y'all are creepy and need to shower and maybe not sweat so much. And don't tell me it was hot in there, because it was not. It was very nipply for me. It was not hot. So when you're coming up with a sweaty ass hand, and I ask you why you're all sweaty, don't say it's hot. Just say, listen, I'm nervous or I sweat a lot. I'd rather have that than the heat thing, because it was a little chilly in there. But anyway, obviously seeing the fans is always great. Love interacting. I love hearing the stories of when they were kids watching us, because I have my own stories from going over to the Spectrum and the Civic Center in Philly and watching. And back then when they had the pay-per-views for WrestleMania, you know, going to the Garden State Racetrack and watching on the closed circuit, big giant screen, like you're in a, it was like a movie theater. It was set up like a movie theater. And then it was my buddy Mike and I, and maybe one or two other friends would go, and we're sitting there yelling and screaming at a screen when no one's yelling and screaming back. You know, we were always we'd like to be the obnoxious ones. So anyway, that you know, it's always fun to hear fan stories of us. But the other highlight for me is getting to see everybody that I haven't seen. It's a big, giant reunion for us as the boys. And, you know, so like Demolition's there, got to see them, Honky Tonk Man, Billy and Jesse, the New Age Outlaws, you know, got to sit down and talk to Rhino for a little bit. DDP was right next to us. Spike Dudley, got to see Jeff Jarrett, haven't seen him in forever. Booker T. By the way, Booker T and Vic Joseph did an amazing job calling SummerSlam over the radio. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go to WWE Radio. That used to be Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7. You can go on there, and they've been replaying it here and there when the other shows aren't going. But they did a phenomenal job. It was so good. I really enjoyed it, because that's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing to get over. So that's always fun. Cool part for me. Another cool part then was on Saturday, I got to chat with Mickie James for a few minutes and talk to her about Nick Aldis, her husband, and his match. And she was telling me how excited he was, and I was just as excited for him. That's one of my highlights that I have written down. So, you know, it's always fun to be able to go there and do that and interact and catch up with everybody. And it's just one of my favorite parts as well. Hold on, I need another sip of my Once Upon a Coconut. One highlight that stood out to me at the WWE NXT tryouts was I got kind of called out by Cam Hendricks. If you don't know Cam Hendricks is married to Maxxine Dupri. So he's, you know, he's in NXT, and he calls me out. He goes, Coach, he goes, I listen to the podcast all the time. He goes, how come you never give me a shout out? How come I don't get mentioned? And my first response was going to be, well, do something that stands out. But he does things that stand out. And it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just one of those things where I just, I don't know, glaze over it, but whatever. But Cam, you know, here's your shout out. You're getting your few minutes here on the Chaz Moss Show. And I really wanted to give you a big shout out. Watching NXT last night, I'm like, all right, I need something, Cam, here. Give me something. Then it was like, blip, you ran by, you hit Mason Rook, and then you were gone. And I was like, damn. I'm like, and if you guys don't know Mason Rook's a big boy. He's big. He's bad. He'll body slam your dad. He's big. He's bad. He'll body slam your dad. That's what they chant. I don't know where that came from, but now he's got it on a shirt. I just find it catchy and kind of funny. But Cam and Mason are in a feud, and it's turned into the two of them now interfering in each other's matches, messing with each other, backstage brawls. And it's kind of funny, if you follow them on the X, the old Twitter bot, talking crap on there. And Cam, the beach picture of you is perfect, and I love how you wrote, Mason Rook, you're next, or your turn, whatever it was. I thought it was great. And then it's kind of lame, you know. So I got to give you the props there, because the response is back. I don't know if Mason wrote this back, but I saw so many other comments on your picture of you know, the referencing Maxine and their on camera thing with Austin Theory. That's weak. Yeah, it's all weak. But Cam, listen, I look forward to seeing where this goes, and I'll be up at the PC next week, so we can chit-chat about this a little more, and maybe, maybe we'll figure something else out. But anyway, Cam, this is your shout-out, and hey, you called me out, I followed through on it, and maybe we'll do a weekly segment on Cam Hendricks. We'll take 5 minutes and talk about Cam. We'll see how that goes. The next highlight for me was, I had the tryouts on Friday morning, and then Friday night. Hold on, let's skip over here to the gram. Anybody? Let me see. Thrasher and Reggie, the dream team. Oh, the three of us. Oh, got it. Headbanger 2.0. All right, well, listen, I need to see what you look like in a skirt. Yeah. Yeah, I need to see what you look like in a skirt. I see it, Reggie. You don't have to keep it. Actually, Reggie, read it as many times as makes your heart happy. Yeah, Stephanie Vaquer is back. Love that. I really didn't get much. I mean, I watched Raw, but I didn't really, I'm not really, hold on, much on here about it. But, yeah. But, yeah, Stephanie's back, which is amazing. And it's going to be interesting with her, Becky, and Liv. It's just the bringing that up, the funny part for me is last time Becky was on TV, she was hated. She was a heel. People booed her. People were shitting on her because she was, you know, feuding with AJ Lee. And with Liv out in the ring last night, with as much heat as they get, when Becky's music went, boom, the biggest pop, which just really makes me laugh. But amazing, but makes me laugh. Graham McRobert, hello from Scotland. Hey, Graham. Hello from West Palm Beach, Florida. I would love to come to Scotland, too. I don't know how we got to make that work. We got to need some more overseas tours. But anyway, Friday morning was WWE NXT tryouts. Friday night was WrestleCon. Saturday morning was more WrestleCon. And then Saturday night, again, very fortunate enough that I was invited to the stadium for night one to watch SummerSlam. And there was a bus picking us up at the hotel, and I get on the bus, and there's Demolition, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, Greg Gagne, a couple other guys I'm probably forgetting, and I apologize. Oh, Dan Spivey and Ann Russo. And you guys don't really know who Ann is, but Ann worked with WWE for ages. She's an amazing, fun person. I don't really know how I end up on a Legends bus, but hey, that's where I was. I was on a Legends bus, and you know, we got to go down. We got to go into the back, and it was really cool because I was able to see some of the participants from that night. I'm not going to start mentioning, I'm not going to start name dropping. We got to talk to some great people backstage, about their matches and what was going on and the excitement about it. And yes, most of them were from NXT who just bumped up, so you can kind of guess. So it was great. It was great to see them. It was great to chat with them. Love catching up with them and love the excitement that they had. And again, I didn't work, you know, I'm not at the PC all the time. I'm there every couple of months. But, you know, when I get to work with them and I get to see them get elevated and, you know, they get promoted or whatever up to the main roster, but then to watch them continually grow and then, you know, to be able to get to talk to them again, like watching them at home or watching them live, it's just fun for me. I love that side of what I'm doing now with the coaching and the training part. I just love that. So then they escorted us up into a suite, which was great because there was food and beverages there, but the suite was so far away, you had to keep turning and watching the screens, the big screens they had, because it was hard to see. Not complaining whatsoever, because it was still an amazing experience. But about halfway through the CM Punk Cody Rhodes match, everyone was walking downstairs, and I was able to sneak out onto the floor, and I knew where Steve Corino was sitting, so I ran over with Steve and his son and his wife, and I got to watch the middle to the end of the Cody Punk match, and then got to watch the Hell in a Cell match from the floor. Again, being in the suite was great, but being on the floor, even though we were sitting, it's kind of hard to see, and you're still kind of looking up at the monitors, the big screens. I don't even know how to explain the atmosphere. The atmosphere was just, it was chilling. You had goosebumps. Oba comes out, and you know, you watch, you know, I've seen Oba come out on NXT. I've seen Oba come out on TV, obviously, since he's moved up to the main roster. And you know, I'm like, yeah, this is great, it's great. But when you're there in person, and I don't know, however many people, 30, 40, 50, 80,000 people, I don't know how many was there, and I don't care how many were there. But to be able to be there and feel the atmosphere, to be in the middle of it, is you got goosebumps. Like, I got goosebumps when Oba came out. Brock's music hits, you get goosebumps. There's that atmosphere, the fans, the love for what they're watching and what everyone's doing. It's just freaking unbelievable, and kind of stammering around with words because I can't find the right words to say how you feel when you're there. Because again, I'm a fan still. You know, I do coach. I still do it. So I look at the business in totally probably two or three different ways. But from my fan perspective, it's just the atmosphere is just unbelievable. And, you know, I know there was complaints about ticket prices, but hell, they put tickets on sale for $25. So you can't really complain about ticket prices when they're, you know, $25. But yeah, it was just amazing. And that Hell in a Cell, you know, it wasn't a Mick Foley, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. You know, I know some people have said, hey, does it really need to be a Hell in a Cell, because they really didn't need to be in a Hell in a Cell because they didn't really use the cage. And my answer to that is, who cares? Maybe it didn't, but the match itself told the story. You know, when, you know, Brock starts ripping up the canvas and moving the padding, the first thing that pops into my head was Undertaker doing that to him. And this was kind of his way of paying respects back to The Undertaker, because The Undertaker passed the torch on to Brock, and now Brock is passing on the torch to Oba, and he's paying tribute to the man who passed the torch on to him, which was unbelievably awesome. You see the emotion in Brock's face at one point. They zoomed in on Brock's face as he's reaching up for the ropes. Excuse me. And I couldn't help but think, and I looked over at Carino and I said, look, I said, that face right there is a face of going, I got one more big bump in me and I'm done. And, you know, he took the big bump. You know, a lot of people said he should have landed on the wood, should have, could have, whatever, whether he landed on the wood or whether he landed where he landed, it didn't matter. It still told the same story. And then Brock leaves to let, you know, Oba have his shine in the middle of the ring by himself. And then when he came back, he saw him coming back down the ramp. Like, again, I got goosebumps all over because you kind of knew what was coming. And, you know, when he gets out there and he says, I'm the past and he's the future, it's just, it's the great part about the business. And one of the things that I'm enjoying on this retirement run that Glenn and I are doing as a tag team, is being able to give back and kind of do the same thing. Obviously not on that large of a scale that Brock was able to do for Oba, but we did it at Maryland Championship Wrestling. You know, we're working with Tommy Fierro and ISPW right now. We're their tag champs. And listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The plan at the end is for us to pass the torch to another tag team, and that's what you do in this business. And Brock's always done tremendous, great business, and he did it again on night one of SummerSlam. So, I mean, just that part of it to me was, you know, it was being there. I'm going to say being there and being a part of it, even though I wasn't really a part of it, but being there makes you feel like you're a part of it. Like you can watch it on TV, but I can say I was there when Brock passed the torch. And I don't know, I was maybe, 25 rows, whatever it was, away from the ring. But anyway, it just, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Brock was unbelievable. Oba's fucking unbelievable and has such a bright future. It's going to be great to watch him and see where he goes next. The Roman-Seth match. So the amazing part to me, for me, in the hold on 1 second. Let's see if what the comments are here. I haven't been looking at the comments. All right, let's see. All right, Reggie, you're the best kept secret. You're going to save us from losing titles. All right. All right. All right. Not many comments here, but hey, I appreciate the comments. If you got comments, send them. Anything you want to say, anything you want to ask, let me know. But I'm going to move on. Yeah, so Seth and Roman, the greatest part for me with the match was ending the story. And I say it that way because there's not many stories like that. I did the podcast yesterday, and I'm trying to think of another story that ended like that. And I say ended like that because here's two guys that came in together that were in a faction, the Shield. They were very successful at doing that. And then, you know, they go their separate ways. They do their own things. They kind of intertwine here and there. And, you know, injuries kept one out. Injuries kept another one out. But they kept coming back. And somehow, you know, 12, 14 years later, I think they made their debut in, 14 years ago? So they split up like 12 years ago. Say 14 years ago. They have a 14-year story that they were able to close the other night. And I say that, to me, that's the greatest thing, because how many other people have been in the same company for 14 years together, and to come in together and then have a closing story, you know, have a final match closing the book on their story? I can't think of anyone. I honestly can't think of anyone, because it's unheard of for people to stay with the same company for that length of time like Seth and Roman did. Cody had a story, but Cody left and came back. Punk left and came back. You know, Seth and Roman stayed together. I know, you know, Hogan was here, Hogan left, Hogan came back. There's no one else that I can think of who had a story like that and then be able to close it out. To me, that was, like, just poetic. I thought it was really well done. You know, I know a lot of people get wrapped up in the fact that, you know, they didn't, you know, there's not a lot of high flying in those matches, but there doesn't need to be. Roman, with his speed, is very deliberate with everything he does, and Seth's very deliberate with everything he does, and they work so well together. I just think the match overall told the story, it told the history of their last 14 years, and then, bam, they were able to close it. Using Dean Ambrose's finishes, both of them using his finisher, him being mentioned in commentary and on the video packages, the mask, signifying him or the Shield, whatever it signified, the fist pump at the end. Again, you can't get, you're not going to see that again, at least for a long, unless you get like a Javon and Trick, but they didn't come in together as a package like Seth and Roman did. So I don't think we've ever seen anything like that, and I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again. So Yeah, that was the highlight for me with that match. Again, good solid match, but to me it was the story ending and wrapping everything up the way they did. Punk and Cody, what can you say about that? There's another match that told a great story. It reminded me a lot. I'm going to say SummerSlam of 92. Could have the year wrong. Could have SummerSlam wrong too, but I believe it was Bret, the Hitman Hart against Razor Ramon. And very similar to where one of them focused on an arm, one of them focused on a leg. Kind of like Cody and Punk did. You know, they tried to take each other's strength away. They told a great story. You know, Randy comes down, makes his return. And I think the only thing that could have made the RKO better, and again, this is hindsight, you know, looking back at it, but he kind of lifts Cody up and lifts his head up and then bam, hits the RKO. I just think it would have been great, poetic, funny, add a little bit of Randy's personality and humor into it. If he would have lifted up and waved to Cody, and then you see Cody's eyes bulge out, and Cody go, oh, shit, and then boom, RKO. Then Randy gets up, does the wink to the camera, and rolls out. Again, small details. I just thought that would have been kind of cool for my own enjoyment. But again, that kind of closes for now Cody and Punk. It lets us go with Cody and Randy. And let's see what happens with Punk, especially with Kevin Owens coming back. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But either way, it's going to be fun also to see how Cody does and watch Cody in an angle that doesn't involve a belt, because since he came back, his whole story has been wrapped around, you know, that WWE championship. Which brings me to Kevin Owens and with his comeback. I thought it was kind of nifty how, I did think it was cool nifty that Gunther being added and Kevin Owens coming back. I just think they could have milked the Nick Aldis becoming GM again a little bit longer. I think they could have milked that, you know, maybe make him have to earn it back other than just having one match and saying, okay, now he's back as being GM. But Kevin winning, you know, Kevin comes back after almost 18 months off, looked great, did a great job, obviously was not holding back, obviously is fully healed and not afraid of getting hurt again the way he was going, which is what his point was, what he wanted to say, which is what he said at the end when everyone told him to be careful. He was like, sure, I'll be careful. Not, I'm still going to be Kevin. I'm going to do whatever I want. Looked amazing. I thought that added a different flair to the match. I thought it made the match a little bit more fun and more interesting. I'm just not a fan of when someone's off for that long and they come back and then bam, win a match like that, and now they're the number one contender. again, just my personal opinion. You know, Kevin's earned that spot, you know, over all the years and everything he's done. I'm not taking anything away from him or saying he hasn't earned that spot. I'm just saying for me personally, I don't think he should have went over, but it's all good. But I do think Sami Zayn needs a new shirt. They need to say justice, not justice for Sami, justice for the last good guy. I feel bad for Sami. You know, he keeps getting shit on. He keeps getting thrown aside. He doesn't get a rematch. He's got to earn a rematch, and then this happens. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Does Sami get hot at Kevin? Does he go after Kevin? Does Kevin go straight after Punk? You know, obviously being a number one contender, yes, he's going to go straight after Punk. But how does Sami get in there? How does Gunther factor into this now? How does Gunther and Nick Aldis's relationship work now on SmackDown? Being that Gunther beat Nick, that match was great. Nick, for not being in the ring for over 3 years, looked unbelievable, which I knew he would. The man's in tremendous shape. You know, looked unbelievable. did really, really well for not being in a match. Yeah, a couple times he looked a little blown up, but who cares? That's going to happen. I mean, I could wrestle every day and still get blown up. The highlight for me in that match, you know, you kind of knew Gunther was going to go over. Again, I'm curious to see the dynamic now between Gunther and Nick. I think Nick coming out and saying Gunther's now in the match probably will kind of help with that dynamic on SmackDown. But my favorite part was when Mickey and their son, Mickey James and their son, they got in the ring with Nick. I thought that was amazing. I loved it. You know, being a father and, you know, having a child and being able to share something like that with him. I got to do that one time. I was able to get Tyler into the ring and do our ring announcing for us. Was great. But like I said, Nick's match was great. Mickey coming out was awesome. And then I love my Fatal Influence girls. The match was really well done. I thought it was good. Just the three of them are so good. And when I say the three of them, I mean JC Jane, Fallon, and Lainey Reed. The three of them are so good. You know, they're going to be, the stuff they're going to do moving forward is going to be unbelievable. And I can't wait to watch them grow and get better and better and better because they're all so young still, but they're all so talented and all so good. So overall, my weekend was a blast. You know, like I said, it's a good time seeing everyone I haven't seen. It's a great time, you know, seeing the fans and hearing their stories. Love hearing the stories. And then next week, I get to go back up to the PC. My arm's all healed up, so I got invited back, which very fortunate and excited about. So coming up next week, I'm at the PC. And then we got some Evolve TV tapings, which will be fun to do. I love doing those. And then August 16th, Sunday, August 16th, Create a Pro Wrestling at the Knights of Columbus in Lynbrook, New York. So if you're up in that area, stop by. They're doing a convention during the day. I think Carino's there, Rhino's there, Brian Myers will be there. So it'll be a great crew. We won't actually be at the convention. We're just wrestling, doing the show. And then Monday the 17th, we're doing a virtual with K&S WrestleFest on Facebook. I think he's still doing it on Facebook. I know he's doing some whatnot stuff, so I'm not 100% sure. But follow K&S WrestleFest for that. And then August 20th, we are back at the Wildwoods Convention Center in Wildwood, New Jersey, to defend our brand new ISPW Tag Team titles. And here's a really cool part for me. We'll be defending the titles against Marcus Mathers and Aaron Rourke. If you don't know them, look them up. They're both WWE ID guys. They've both been on Evolve. They've both dabbled a little bit, I believe, with NXT. So I guess next week, being that I'll be at the PC and I'll see them, I guess I should rough them up a little bit, or at least let them know what they're in for. So that was it. That was kind of my recap of my good time at the weekend at SummerSlam. Again, if you're watching this, thank you. If you were watching the replay, thank you. Let's see what else we got here in the little chat before I go. Who else I got here? All right. Wolfpack underscore 1996 asks, have you ever played WWF WrestleMania? The arcade game is done with similar to Mortal Kombat. It's produced by Midway and developed by Acclaim Entertainment and Sculptured Software. I believe I have. I believe Tommy Fierro's store, the wrestling collector, wrestling collector, his store has one. And I was playing it there, if we're talking about the same game. So I believe I have done that. So if you're watching, thank you. If you're watching the replay, thank you. This is available on YouTube, and it's now available wherever you listen to get your podcast. And while you're there, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get updates and all kinds of fun stuff. Head over to chasmosh.com for your copy of Beneath the Skirt, and I have some exclusive merchandise on there that's only available on chasmosh.com. And don't forget now, LiveFortunate.com. Go check out LiveFortunate.com. Some cool designs, I think. Working on some cooler designs. If you have some design ideas, send them my way. I'd love making the designs. Yeah, and make sure you follow me on all social media at Chaz Mosh so you don't miss anything. And remember, live fortunate and do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. See y'all next time. Peace out.